Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, bless us today in wisdom. And Lord, you're showing us the things to come. You're showing us the things that are. And we thank you, Lord, so we can cooperate with you and be encouraged too. And we thank you for doing this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, saints, I'm going to share with you powerful revelations here. We're going to go on with Man-Child Judges and Preserves, number 7. And this first revelation was given to Vanessa Weeks on 5/29/20. And it speaks of rejection of those failing the test. And we'll let you know what the test is so you can make sure you're watching for it, right? Vanessa said, I had this short dream on May the 29th, 2020. We of UBM were outside standing on the grass and under some trees. And I would say standing on the grass represents having the flesh under our feet. All flesh is as grass, right? There were white folding chairs set up. They were like the chairs used in Brandy and Amber's wedding. And this represents the sanctification of the bride for the coming marriage. You know that the trials that are happening now and persecutions that are happening now are doing this. They're preparing the bride. And also separation of the wicked from the bride so that they can be spotless and blemishless for the marriage. And she went on to say, David, Barry, me, and a few other people were standing behind these chairs. Then a man who was standing with us received a call on his cell phone. He answered it, and it was the factious leader talking. And I could hear him say, just have an open mind. Well, of course, that's what they've always said. This is what the faction believes you should do so that their demons can get into your mind. But we are to obey the word. Titus 3:10 and 11 says, a factious man after first and second admonition refuse, knowing that such a one is perverted and sinneth, being self-condemned. And James 3:14-16 says, but if you have bitter jealousy and faction in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth, which comes common with faction. This wisdom is not a wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion and every vile deed. This certainly fits the situation. Romans 16:17-18 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the divisions and occasions of stumbling. By the way, they are marked, you know, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and turn away from them. These are causing divisions and causing stumbling. Turn away from them, we're commanded. For they that are such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly, and by their smooth and fair speech they beguile the hearts of the innocent. I believe that the factious leader here represents the spirit and the voice of faction. The Lord revealed to us that he had the biggest demon of all the rest of them. It's the ruling demon. And that's because he has been promoted higher and higher in this realm. This is the fourth time of his faction, fourth time he's done this. And so he doesn't represent just him personally. He represents the demonic realm that is moving through him. And the man represents a branch of UBM, as seen below when we share the rest of the dream, you'll see, and not just a physical man. This rejected branch is now a corporate body like the good branch mentioned in Jeremiah's chapter 23 and 33, the branch of David there, that is the man-child branch, the corporate man-child in our day. They are the false man-child. They are listening to the voice or thoughts of faction empowered by witchcraft, which is criticism, accusation, suspicion, slander in the beginning, and then they, of course, faction out. This trap is sprung on the disobedient. If a person's not disobedient, they cannot fall into this. They will never fall into this. The rules that we've given so many times, as some we just mentioned here, a few we mentioned here, this will keep a person safe. Unforgiveness and rejection is an open door for this disaster. So these spirits need to be renounced by anyone out there. This is where the fertile ground is for faction to take people out, okay? And as the next paragraph, which we're going to look at, says, this branch must be cut off. And this is to prepare the bride for the marriage. In all of UBM and the world, this voice is going forth to separate disobedient people from the bride so that she is spotless and blemishless. What better to, you know, cut off wickedness from the bride than faction, which means separation? It's a demon that the Lord himself is using to separate from his body. She went on to say, I felt the factious leader was trying to pull at this man's emotions, this corporate man's emotions, in favor of himself. This man then walked away while he was still talking to him. And, of course, walking away means the demons factioned him out. Then David got on his cell phone and was talking to someone as he walked away. I thought he was taking care of the matter. Well, on the contrary, the test must happen to separate the spots and blemishes from the bride. It has to happen. And that's when Barry, that's her husband, drew my attention to a low branch of the tree. UBM's tree that we were under. He pointed his right forefinger at the branch, and I did this also as he said, this branch must be cut off. So the faction are the vessels of dishonor that God is using to separate other vessels of dishonor from the body. And this is necessary to sanctify the body because a little leaven leavens the whole lump in 1 Corinthians 5. And there God said to separate from those leavened people. You don't have to do that with faction because faction is separation and they're separated in their mind from you many times even before you know it. And they're gone. And I received by faith at random for this dream Jeremiah 6 and 27. Wow, that's another really good one, you know. Amazing how the Lord can do that. But if you ask him anything by faith, he hears you and he's going to do it, right? Jeremiah 6, 27 through 30 in context. I have made thee, he is speaking to Jeremiah, who was a type of the man-child, a trier and a fortress among my people. How did Jeremiah become a trier? He was a trier because his words tested people to see who they were, to prove who they were. Yeah. That thou mayest know and try their way. You'll find out what their way is on how they deal with the word of God coming out of the mouth of the man-child type here, Jeremiah. And Barry left a note here. He said, many translations for trier in verse 27 say assayer or tester of metals. Well, do you know that we're all likened to metals in the Bible? Gold, silver, you know, brass. We're all likened to different metals. There's a 30, 60, and 100-fold purity of God, value of God, because brass, of course, is less than silver, and silver less than gold. Gold is the highest. And so the man-child's words from the Lord test the people, whether they will obey or rebel. Of course, if they have demonic influence or influence from the flesh that they give heed to, they will rebel. And you know what rebellion is? It's witchcraft, right? Witchcraft is a very powerful demon. It enforces faction among the faction. It enforces it among people who listen to it. Witchcraft comes over them. The words in people's minds are unreasonable, but they never cease, and they have power if you continue with them to take you out. But anyway, Jesus was the test of who would be born of God and who would be rejected. Matthew 13:11. And he answered and said unto them, unto you, that was the disciples, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, that is the offended Jewish persecutors, it is not given. So the faction wasn't given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. They had been cut off at that time. That was among the Jews. Now we have it among the church, because the things that have been are the things that shall be, and there's no new thing under the sun. You see, the history always repeats. The Jews were simply God's Old Testament church, and the Christians are God's New Testament church, right? But that which is true in the natural is also true in the spiritual. And the natural is often used as a parable to reveal the spiritual. But that also hides things from people that like this, who have no intent to be sanctified. Okay? So today, Jesus, the Word of God, in the man-child body, is the test. The words are the test, either to cause or to show someone is a rebel or to show someone is a saint, right? And of course, there have been many stones that the builders rejected. Okay, Jesus was the stone that the builders rejected. But the Bible says the Spirit of Christ that dwelt in them, speaking of the prophets, also made them stones that the builders rejected. Did you know all of the prophets were rejected by the rebellious? All those prophets were testers. They were triers. Their words either brought one attitude or the other attitude out of people that hear. There was either rebellion or there was submission. The submission were the true people of God. The rebellion was not. They were the tares that were bundled together to burn, right? So, Jesus, in his man-child body, is the test. He is the stone that the builders rejected that will be made the head. That's a bit some kind of a deal. I mean, because look, these people were persecuted by the wicked people, and they were given authority over them. That's right. Some of the builders in UBM have rejected the man-child because they accept slander and are offended. And this is true all over the world, not just in local UBM. Matthew 21, 38 through 44 says, But the husbandmen, when they saw the son, said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and take his inheritance. That's exactly what they are trying to do today. And they don't hide it. And they took him and cast him forth out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the Lord of the vineyard shall come, what will he do unto those husbandmen? Now that's a good question. We're going to find out very soon, according to the revelations that follow this one. What is he going to do to those husbandmen? They say unto him, He will miserably destroy those miserable men, and will let out the vineyard unto other husbandmen, who will render him the fruits in their seasons. Well, okay, now we know who the new husbandmen are going to be. It's going to be the man child and the bride. When Jesus came, of course, the people of the Jewish leaders rebelled against him, crucified him, crucified his disciples who went forth as apostles, but the vineyard was given, the true vineyard was given over to the reformers. The people who heard, the people who had eyes to see and ears to hear, followed the reformers. Not only Jesus as a reformer, but those who he raised up among the apostles. And Jesus saith, and the things that have been are the things that shall be. You know, there's nothing new, nothing has changed. The only thing we're dealing with is larger groups of people that fulfill these types and shadows. That's the only difference. In verse 42, Jesus saith unto them, Did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same was made the head of the corner, and this was from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you, and shall be given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And he that falleth on this stone shall be broken to pieces. That is a way of speaking about repentance, the destruction of the flesh, right? If you fall on the stones, your flesh is destroyed. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will scatter him as dust. That's the destruction, the eternal destruction of people who rebel. Okay. Garrett Crawford sent me a note. Garrett means strength of the spear, and Crawford means bloody crossing. He had a dream. I believe because of the Lord told me to look up his name because his name represents something concerning this dream. He represents those who Garrett Crawford represents those who do warfare against the flesh and demons to take the kingdom of heaven for themselves, which we must all do. Jesus said in Matthew 11:11-12, Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. That's the first birth, right? Nobody was greater than John the Baptist. He was the greatest prophet of the Old Testament before the new birth came along. Okay? Yet he that is but little in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And those little in the kingdom of heaven are born of God. They have a born-again spirit, right? And they follow God. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And men of violence take it by force. You know, this is a war. It's a war for your eternal life and for the eternal life of the people around you. It's a war. It's a bloody battle, like Garrett's name implies. He represents a people. Okay? This is a warning that those who do not take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word, to conquer their enemies, will not be among the remnant. And according to Jesus, only these will win the kingdom. So here's Garrett's dream. I had a dream years ago. Everyone left David but me. Out of all his students, I was his only student that did not quit. And he said, I have watched many lose their inheritance because they came against you. That's what he told me. I'm not trying to lose mine. In other words, he's going to guard his inheritance. He could see that I was being a trier to the people. John 6:6-6, that's right, remember the number. Upon this, many of his disciples, upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Jesus said, therefore, unto the 12, would you also go away? Simon Peter answered him, saying, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So, notice, there were many disciples following Jesus, but there came a time when they couldn't take his words about eating my flesh and drinking my blood. And a multitude of them left. He didn't even try to straighten out those words. It was a test. He didn't try to straighten those words out or explain them or whatever. No, it was a test. They went back. Okay. And it symbolizes, of course, that the people who are not willing to eat his body, which is the word of God, and drink his blood, which is the nature of God, the nature of Jesus, in replacement of our words and our blood, which is our whole problem, right, that was passed on to us by our parents. We have a new blood and new words, new thought, new mind of Christ, so to speak. So, I believe Garrett here is a type of the people who will fight the good fight of the faith and will lay hold on life eternal. It's a bloody fight. It is a war. I've often told people that I saw that weren't fighting. They just wanted other people to fight for them. I've often told them, if you don't fight, you will lose. The devil will not give up. But he has no power against those who fight the good fight of the faith. There are a lot of lazy people out there. They just want somebody to do it for them. But these are not the kind of people that are going to make it. If they don't take up their sword and fight, they will lose. It's just very simple. So that's what Garrett represents, somebody who took up the sword and fought, right? And that's who's going to be left with the man-child. The rest are going to depart. Matthew 26:31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended in me this night. This is an example of that leaving, right? For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Well, they were scattered, right? And the words of Jesus scattered that first bunch, all but the disciples who in that particular type were shown to be the people who recognized who he was and were following him. And Romans 9:32 says, wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by works. There are many, of course, in the kingdom that are only there by works. They're not there by faith. They're not true disciples. And because you can't be justified by your works. You can't be accounted righteous by your works. So you can't be a true disciple if you're walking according to the law or according to works or the laws of man or anything like that. And it goes on to say, they stumbled at the stone of stumbling. There it is again. He sought it not by faith, a stone of stumbling. Even as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Did you know that that was Jesus? Yes, it was. And it was Jesus in the prophets. And it's Jesus in the end time man child. He is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. He is the Word of God. He is the rock. He is the stone. And guess what that stone does? It puts people on one side of the fence or the other side of the fence. There's no lukewarm. He puts them on either side of the fence. Either you're rebelling against the Word, which is the stone, and you stumble, as it says here, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling. In Zion. Zion is the bride, right? A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. You will know these people by their offense. They're offended at everything. Can't you see it in the world? The parallel that's in the world. They're offended at everything. They make up offenses. Because they're liars and slanderers. They make them up. We've been knowing these people for a long time. Jesus knew them. The prophets knew them. On and on. Throughout the scriptures, these people have been around. But they have a job to do. And it is to separate those people who do not stand the test. And he that believeth on him shall not be put to shame. These are the people who will stand the test. They will not be put to shame. On the other hand, the faction, how many times we've received a shame in regards to the faction, their shame will never be turned away, the scripture says. Never. 1 Peter 2:8. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, for they stumble at the word, being disobedient. That's the word out of the prophets, the word out of Jesus, the word out of the man-child, being disobedient. Now, when a person is disobedient to the commands given from the scriptures through any of these mouths, it doesn't make any difference. That can be a stone of stumbling. When you disobey it, you will be removed. And it goes on to say, whereunto also they were appointed. They were appointed to be removed. They were appointed to be disobedient and to stumble out of the way. Okay. And it's for the purpose of cleansing the body. Judases are necessary in the body to help you to your cross. Yes, they are wicked people, and yes, they will lose their life for it. But it has to be done. That branch has to be cut off. So back to the text that was given to Vanessa by faith, Jeremiah 6:27. I'll read it again. I have made thee, that is the man child, a trier and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. The next verse. They are all grievous revolters. They are a revolution against God-ordained authority. That's who they are. They're revolters. Going about with slanderers. Yes, they do. They are brass and iron. Now remember, she got this by faith at random. You know, believing God to give her a text that has to do with what's going on in this revelation. Grievous revolters, going about with slanderers, they are brass and iron. In other words, they're not in the silver or gold category in this case. They all of them deal corruptly. The bellows bloweth fiercely. The lead is consumed of the fire. In vain do they go on refining, for the wicked are not plucked away. In other words, their wickedness is not being cleansed, is not plucked away. I've known some of them like that. They've been going for many years like that, It's never been plucked away. Now, look at this. Refuse silver shall men call them. In other words, they've been rejected from the silver. Notice that the brass and iron doesn't come up to the value or beauty of silver. Refuse silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. Well, that's why they've been turned over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh by God. Well, notice here that the trier or tester of metals proved them to be refuse silver. When the low branch is not being refined, it must be cut off. And after hearing the truth so many times, people are offended and disobey still. Some people even get mad because you're reminding them, but they have just disobeyed what God said, and if you didn't remind them, they'd be going to hell quicker. <You know? laughs> So only those who lose their self-life will win their eternal life. Listen, we didn't make these dreams up. They're very accurate. They very much agree with one another. They're confirmed many, many times, and they come from God. We are studying this because we've been sent messages from God. If you were miffed about that or angry about that or separated by that, well, so be it. You might be one of them, right? And she went on to say, I believe this is a warning about the spirit of pity, either through the factious leader or not. Yeah, that's true. That's one way that they open the door. They want to dump some pity on you. And when you sit down to listen to them, to pat them on the back, you find out that they're sneaking in slander all the time. We know this. We know their M.O. Okay. So, infestation of these demons could come through the faction, but also from those demons talking in their minds and in their thoughts when they don't reject them, right? This can come because of sin being justified or ignored, or idolatry with things more important than God. A sin in the body that's being hidden that God knows about that you don't know about. This happens so many times. It's amazing, because we find somebody that falls away, and then we find out why they fell away. Yeah, they hide their sins. So the thing is, do not talk or think against your brother. Go to him alone and tell him of your thoughts, so that he can answer you. It says in Matthew 18 and 15, in other words, don't go talking to anybody else. This is how faction destroys whole bodies, because they don't obey the word here. Matthew 18 and 15, if thy brother sin. Now notice, if it's not a sin, you don't have any out. You should just keep your mouth shut and pray for them. But if it's a sin, it tells you what to do. If thy brother sin against thee, go, show him his fault between thee and him alone. You know what the faction do? They jump from Matthew 18 and 15 to Matthew 18 and 17, which is to share it with the body. That's what they do every time. And they know these verses, and they know they're rebelling against the word of the Lord. The Lord put this in there in order to protect the body from factious people. Don't sit and listen to somebody who's talking against somebody else. Ask them, did you go talk to so-and-so that you're talking about? Ask them, did you do that first? Here it is. Did you do that first? That would stop it right there, because I bet you they won't do it. If they've got faction in their heart, they're not going to go and talk to the person they're talking about. They never do. In fact, we've got dreams where the Lord told us that the spirit of faction tells all of them, don't talk to David. Oh, he's too busy. You don't want to talk to him. Don't talk to David, even though if they went, they would find out some things. And that's exactly what the devil doesn't want to happen. And he goes on to say, if he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. That's the whole purpose for being obedient to the Lord's commands concerning the body. If anyone speaks against the trier, stop them. Then send them to obey these texts. If any spirit speaks to your mind accusations, go to the trier. Tell him so that he can pray for you or explain to you what's going on. 1 Timothy 5:19, against an elder receive not an accusation except at the mouth of two or three witnesses. I actually told a woman that who was into faction and into talking about people and talking about elders and so on and so forth. She says, oh, do you think this applies to spirit speaking to your mind? Well, of course it does. Of course it does. It says, against an elder receive not an accusation. Who is the accuser? The devil and his demons. They are the accusers. Okay. So you have to have the mouth of two or three witnesses in order to accept it. That's right. You don't accept it until you get them. You do not accept it. Don't open your mind like the factious leader wanted to have an open mind. No, you can't have an open mind and listen to slander. You cannot do it. You just cannot do it. If you do, you will be taken out. And she prays this prayer, Father, thank you that you try our hearts. Cause us to be watchful with the sword of the Spirit, which is, of course, the Word of God. Thank you that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. In Jesus' name, amen. This is so true. Thank you, Father. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. You have spoken to us. You have shown us very clearly, and we have to be obedient. It will cost you to disobey the Lord. It costs all of these people what they're living through right now, what they put their children into, what they've destroyed their families around them, what they've destroyed of Christians that'll sit and listen to them. This destruction comes from a disobedient people. Now, this is one that Eve Brass got on 9/30 of this year, 2020. And we called it Storm Coming Upon the Dividers, which is the word faction in the Bible, right? Outside of the house. Storm coming upon the dividers outside of the house. And Eve said, I dreamed that I was in the UBM house. It was located in the middle of a sprawling city made of one-story gray houses. And those one-story gray houses talk about those abiding in death. Their way is death. Okay. It seemed that our house was on a central hill, and I could look out over all the city round about us. Well, do you remember the Sennacherib Assyrian beast siege of Jerusalem, whom John in Revelation was told is the bride? There was a siege around the bride of wickedness, of evil. The northern army was the same way, you see, a siege. And the faction against the righteous is the same way. They stand around out there and slander. And so our house represents Jerusalem, Zion, the sanctified people of God, that are surrounded by our enemies, always threatening to conquer us. Well, the house has white siding, she says, on the exterior, and was a three-level house. We often see this three-level house, and it represents the body of believers dressed in white, who are made up of spirit, soul, and body. The three levels of sanctification. She goes on to say, there was a basement, a second floor, and an upper third floor. But the basement was actually on ground level, and that is where the entrance to the house was. Okay, how do you enter the kingdom? The entrance is by born-again spirit on the first level. That's the first level. When you're born again in spirit, as we have taught, the next thing you do is by that spirit, from the Holy Spirit, you're born again in soul, which is mind, will, and emotions. That's the second level, right? And the third level is the highest. It's coming into Christlikeness, right? So this house represents our temple of body, soul, and spirit. You know, the temple was also made up of places that represented the body, the outer court, the soul, the holy place, the spirit, the holy of holies. And who dwelt in the spirit of the holy of holies? Ha-ha! The Holy Spirit did. God did, right? Amen. However, he doesn't dwell in everybody's. You know, you have to have a born-again spirit or you will not come in. The first step, the entrance, is having a born-again spirit in the likeness of Jesus' born-again spirit. His spirit is being recreated in you when you are born again. And like Jesus had two spirits, he had his human born-again spirit, and he had the Holy Spirit that came to dwell in that spirit, right? And so he was made in all things like unto his brethren, that is like us. We are the same way. Individually we're the same way, and corporately we're the same way. See? And this house is white because the people in the house are sanctified from the world. They love righteousness and obedience to the word. They've been warned. They've watched people destroy themselves by not doing this. So it's been a good example to them, a good warning to them. So Eve went on to say, Missy and I were on the second floor, sanctifying the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. Okay, that's what I believe. In an empty common area that had a single window, which had 24 panes of glass. Now that's very interesting. 12 on the upper part of the window and 12 on the lower part that opened. Each pane was separated by strips of wood that were also painted white. Well, I believe she said that the same thing I've taught is that these 12 and 12, these window panes that allow the light of the sun, sun/son, into the house, which is you, may represent the 12 patriarchs of the 12 tribes of Israel and also the 12 apostles that followed Jesus and started the first century church, the 24 elders, right? The word of God through them is the foundation of the kingdom of God that our lives are built upon, Revelation 4:4. And round about the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, arrayed in white garments, and on their heads crowns of gold. So if you perceive through these glasses that seem to represent the foundation, the foundational knowledge and fruit of our kingdom, you perceive through that, you look through that, you're able to see things. If you don't have that foundation, you cannot see things. You cannot know things. Jesus said to them, to you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. They could not see or perceive the kingdom or the king. Notice that the 12 perceived and knew the king. It was revealed to them. It wasn't revealed to their great and mighty elders who had all these letters behind their name. They didn't know him. They didn't know him. But these poor, ignorant, well, they even called them that. You know, these people who know not the law are cursed. They even said that about them. They're cursed. No, they are not cursed. Evidently, the elders themselves did not know the law. That was their problem, or they would have known Jesus. Today, the great theologians do not know the word, or they would recognize Jesus in the body. And they can't do that. History repeats. The things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. All right. Revelation 21, 10 through 14. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, which we know to be the bride, which was told to John in Revelation, coming down out of heaven from God. And I got to tell you, the bride is being born again from above. Okay, I'm not saying there's not any replicas in heaven or whatever. I'm just saying that the revelation of this is purely true. The bride is born again from above. She comes down out of heaven. Not only is she a product of the Word of God that comes down out of heaven like the manna came down in the wilderness, because you know our Word of God came down out of heaven, Jesus Christ, to give us life, and we have to eat his body in order to have that. Well, they won't eat his body. You know, when you eat something, it goes into you and it becomes who you are. You become a product of that. It's not just a theologian learning something so he can prove to everybody how smart he is. You see, the motive can make a big difference. No, it's wanting it for yourself. It's wanting and loving God for yourself. Then you're able to give him away. If you don't love him and become him for you, for yourself, you're not able to give him away because you don't have him. And also remember that the seed is also always in the fruit. If that fruit is in you, the seed is in you, it's able to go forth and reproduce. So he showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Yes, the bride has this glorious garment called the righteous acts of the saints. It's not just white, it's glowing as with light shining forth from it. That's the glory of God. Having the glory of God, her light was like unto a stone most precious, as it were a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Yes. And, of course, this clearness means there's no spots and no blemishes, right? Clear as crystal. And if they hated Jesus, he said they would hate you. See, the more you become like Jesus, the more they hate you. It's Jesus they hate, because they live in the flesh, and Satan is their God. They hate Jesus. They hate Jesus in you. Having a wall great and high, having 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east were 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. There you go. There's your foundation. See, they wrote the Word of God. Holy men of old were moved by the Holy Spirit. They wrote the Word of God. And they, by the way, it has a perfect numeric pattern in it, you know, that only God could put there. So his signature is upon the words, and it's upon the 66 books, that signature of numerics. Okay. So when we perceive things through that foundation, we do it because we have that foundation. If you don't have that foundation, you can't perceive them through the window of your understanding. And a lot of people, they only know the word because they're excited about the word. You remember one of the ones that Jesus talked about in the parable of the sower? They received the word with excitement, you know. But it didn't last because it didn't become them. Because they weren't fertile ground to receive the seed, it didn't last. So they fizzled out. Faith that fizzles out at the finish had a flaw in it from the first. Remember that. So Missy had her phone in her right hand and was telling me about the weather app that she had pulled up on the screen. Suddenly, a severe weather alert came over her phone, and I asked her, "What's that warning?" She looked at the screen and told me that it was a severe tornado warning. Then she pointed towards the window. You see, the people that look out that window, that have the foundations, they can see this coming. They know it's coming. Because it's God's way. It always comes. And this is representing the word given to keep us on the path and to protect us, right? We need to perceive everything through the word of God. We need to think as it thinks, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That virus in your mind called sin is keeping you from seeing things. Jeremiah 23:18-20. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord, that he should perceive and hear his word? Who hath marked my word? That's interesting. You know, people that really love the word, they get in there and they can't stop marking it, man. Oh, I got to remember this. Underline that. Pretty soon the whole Bible's underlined, and it's useless to put the underlines. Yeah, bold, or they highlight, or, you know. I've gone through so many Bibles that were so tattered and marked up, you know. I remember when people, when I was young, they would look at me doing, "Aren't you ashamed of marking in your Bible? That's the Bible, man." Well, they thought it was holy, but they put it on the shelf and never opened it, you know. It didn't do them a lot of good that way. Who hath marked my word and heard it, and heard it? Behold, the tempest of the Lord, even his wrath, is gone forth. They could see that through the window. It's gone forth. Yea, a whirling tempest. It shall burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you shall understand it perfectly. Well, that is the people who can look out the window and see the tornadoes coming. There are other people, they can look out their window and they never see a tornado coming. They don't ever believe God remembers their sins. They don't ever believe in the God who doesn't like sin, who hates sin. They don't believe in that God. They believe in a God that smiles on all their sin. Yeah. But we call him the devil. That's right. As I looked over towards the window, I had an open vision. Well, of course. I looked and saw the only highway that ran through the middle of the city. Ooh. It ran both the north and the south directions. So, it's a 2-lane, 4-lane highway going both directions, right? All right, my thought is that north represents upward and heavenly, and south represents downward and earthly, spiritually speaking. She said, I was facing northward. Well, praise God. That's good, because you're representing an upward heavenly perspective, right? Out the window. And as my spirit hovered over the area. Okay, so her spirit was hovering over the area. She was observing and looking upward, you know. As I looked up at the sky, I saw all the gray clouds beginning to slowly move in a clockwise direction. That's a storm a-coming, I can tell. And they picked up speed. A funnel formed and began to descend upon the concrete dividers that separated both sides of the highway. Wow. Have you ever been underneath the forming of a tornado? I was, and a bunch of UBM were. We were looking up, watching one form right over our heads. One day we were having a pot blessing. And pretty soon, immediately, people started rebuking it. I said, no, 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 I want to see it. I want to see it. Well, it did get rebuked, and it broke right up. And then it moved over in the sky, and we saw in the distance it formed again and kept on going. And at this particular meeting, we had forbid it to rain on our meeting. Guess what? It didn't rain. It hailed. It was exciting to everybody to see it. I mean, the ground was covered, I would say, probably 4 inches deep in round balls of hail. And suddenly it was cold out there. It was nice and warm, but it was cold out there. And, of course, the tornado did that, you know. But we watched it, and it was awesome. Awesome spectacle of God, you know. So she said a funnel formed and began to descend upon the concrete dividers that separated both sides of the highway. These dividers represent the faction and their leadership against the church that have divided the highway and caused many to turn and go south. You know what the term going south is? It's not a good term. And go south, representing downward and earthly. Okay? And it's true. That's exactly what happens. You watch their families fall apart. You watch them fall apart. They're dirty. They stink. They're in all kinds of sin. Sexual perversion. Theft. Slander. Lies. They fall apart. They go south. Okay? That's what happens when they divide away from the body going north, the people that go south. Judges 1:17-19. But ye, beloved, remember ye the words which have been spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to do that. It will protect us. That they said unto you, in the last time there shall be mockers, walking after their own ungodly lusts. These are they who make separations. There it is. The separations, the division. Right? Sensual, having not the Spirit. You see what I said a few minutes ago? They're having not the Spirit. And this, of course, represents a reprobate. These have become re-separated from the covenant and the saved by faction and unforgiveness, for which Jesus said one would not be forgiven. Would not be forgiven. Can you be saved and not be forgiven? No. It's the very foundation of salvation. So here it is. Think on it. I bet you never applied this in that way, but that's what God does. He opens our understanding to see more and more, doesn't he? Ephesians 2:11-12. Excuse me, I'm going to go 11 to 22, but Ephesians 2:11. Okay. Wherefore, remember that once ye the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that ye were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Alienated. You know what? When you were lost, you were separated from Christ and alienated from the body of Christ. And when you become unforgiving and critical and take God's place and start judging everybody, guess what? You go right back where you came from. Your youthful sins come back too, and they're multiplied. This is what we see. Alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise. Guess what? They are now strangers of the covenants of promise. There's not a one of them that walks by faith. They've got no power. They have no miracles, no signs and wonders, healings, etc. They don't have any of that. Because not only did they come from there, they went back to there. They call it a falling away. Strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Yes, the faction has returned to this separated position. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye that once were far off are made nigh in the blood of Christ. So the blood is effective only for those who repent and believe. Everybody who doesn't repent and believe doesn't walk in the light as he is in the light, so that the blood cleanses them. They do not get cleansed because, for one thing, they can't confess their sins. They're too proud and arrogant to confess their sins. We've had them come back claiming that they had repented. I said, well, if you repented, can you confess your sins? I haven't done anything. Yikes. Okay, nope, you failed the test. Bye. For he is our peace, who made both one and break down the middle wall of partition. There it is. Break down the middle wall of partition. The Lord died to destroy division among his people and to divide the tares from the wheat. There is a division. The tares, between the tares and the wheat, between the goats and the sheep. But it shouldn't be among the sheep. These people are coming like a wolf to divide the sheep. And a wolf divides the sheep in order to eat them, devour them, like the dragon in Revelation 12. Down in 19. So then, you're no more strangers and sojourners, but ye are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. That is, if you are a sanctified one. If you're not a sanctified one, you're not a fellow citizen with the saints, because you're not one of them. Being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. There it is. Chief Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each several building fitly framed together. In other words, a unity of righteous people groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. Now, how can you have a holy temple when there's unholy people in the temple, and the people are the temple? In whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. God does not dwell in them. They're having not the Spirit. God does not dwell in them. They are not part of this. They are not the church, which is the called out ones. They're not coming out. Okay, back to the funnel. She went on to say, as the funnel of the tornado got halfway down, it began to turn invisible, and by the time it struck the dividers, it was mostly invisible. Are they going to see it coming? Nope. She could see it. She was looking through the window panes. They don't believe it's coming. They can't see it. It struck the dividers. It was mostly invisible. This destruction is by the Spirit of God who is behind it. But I could still see the rotation of it. Once it hit the dividers, the faction, it completely demolished them, turning them into small bits of concrete rubble scattered all over the grassy median as far as the eye could see. And from there, it began flattening the whole city. Now watch. This is a double confirmation here. Notice that both the dividers, or the faction, and the city encircling the bride's house, like the faction siege does, are destroyed by the power of God. The city represents them, and the divider represents them. When David, as a type of the man-child, came to rule in the bride city, Jerusalem, he destroyed the Edomite enemies. He put garrisons in their cities. He ruled over them. They became the head. He was persecuted by them, and then he became the head, the stone which the builders rejected. Then he became their head. And that's what's going to happen. And, of course, these Edomites hated their chosen brother, Israel, as a type of the church. Matthew 21, 42 through 44. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures the stone? Okay, Jesus in the son of David, just as today, David, man, child, body. See, they're both made the same way. He had to be made in all things like unto his brethren. Jesus was the Son of Man, which was passed on through David in Mary, and the Son of God who dwelt in the Son of Man. Okay, so today we have a David, man, child, body in which the Lord is coming to rule in again to fulfill the larger type. Okay. So the stone which the builders rejected, that's the witchcraft rebellion, was started by the faction just as it was in Jesus' day. The builders rejected. The same was made the head of the corner. So the throne anointing is coming on the man-child who will have complete authority over the faction. Remember what God told David, you'll never lack to have a man sitting upon the throne of David. When Jesus came, what did he do? Sat upon the throne of David, the Bible says. Okay, now the same thing is happening on the throne of David, which is the new leadership of God's people, the church. Israel is a type of the church. So this reformer ministry is coming. The ministry that now is are the Sauls that are dying. And of course there are men who are coming out from among the Sauls. They're seeing the light and coming out from among the Sauls. They're in a minority, I have to admit, but they're still there. The Sauls are dying, and when the Sauls die, the Davids come to take their place. This is what the Lord told me many years ago. I'm removing the Sauls to make room for the Davids. And he said, you're one of my Davids. I says, okay. That sounded good to me. So he's used me as a type of the larger body because of my name, David, you know. So anyway, This was from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken away from you, that's the factious, and shall be given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And he that falleth on this stone shall be broken to pieces, but whosoever it shall fall, it will scatter him as dust. Yeah. Interesting, two different people having two different dreams and having that text there, you know. But God is awesome. So the vision ended, and I told Missy, we need to warn the others and get everybody into the basement for safety. Well, a basement, of course, represents a place of safety when a tornado comes over, right? But it also represents that there's something else more safe. So we gathered everyone together and headed towards the stairwell. But we ended up going to the top floor for safety. Well, it's true. In the natural, people gravitate to the natural, and they hide out in what they believe is safety. And in the natural, it is safety. But in the spiritual, the heavenly is safely. Right? There is safety in the top level of sanctification, not in the earthly. Righteousness delivereth from death, declares Proverbs, right? A couple times. And we shut the door and were fervently praying for protection from the storm and the tornado. We could feel the whole house shaking from without, but the house remained intact and was one of the few structures remaining once the storm had passed over. Well, we know there is a Passover, right? There will be a Passover for the people who are in Christ and abiding under the protection of His blood in sanctification, right? To those sinners who don't want to sin, just want to be religious and want to rule over others like the Pharisees, you know, there will be no protection. And I say that about the larger church too, not just the faction, not just the deep state faction in our particular circumstance, but the larger church, which is divided. With factions that have been recognized from the beginning. They're called denominations. And if they would all sit down and read their Bible, they would all come together. I proved this. I saw this. You know, when we brought people from many different religions together and we studied the Word of God, we all came to a unity of the Spirit. Our separations didn't mean anything after that. Well, after this, she said, I went out looking for survivors in order to help them come over to our house. Okay, well, obviously the survivors are people that could come to our house. Faction can't come in your house. That's illegal. So after this judgment, the faction will be gone. And evangelism will prosper greatly. Now, these wicked people have done everything they could to destroy evangelism. They don't do it themselves. They don't care about it. Their only evangelism is to try to destroy some people of God. That's what those demons drive them to do. They're driven to do it. They don't see anything wrong with it. But bringing in people from the kingdom, the word has to be there to do it. And they took down the word. They say no, but we know better. We have absolute proof that they took down the word. They hate the word. There will be repentance and revival in apostate Christianity, and many will come under the man-child and the bride. They're made the head, right? And as I returned, she said, and walked up to the entrance of the UBM house on the ground level that was considered the basement, a few of the UBM brethren brought two male demoniacs to me that had come to our house as a result of the storm, and were telling me that they were in need of deliverance so the demoniacs can come and repent too, right? And there will be the power, because sitting in the throne gives a lot of power, right? So as it was with Jesus, there came multitudes of people to get deliverances, healings, etc. And that's what we're coming to. It's a revival that follows the storm. As I approached them, they screamed in terror and writhed. I've seen that happen. Commanding demons out of people and fall down on the floor writhing around like a serpent, which a person physically can't do. I laid hands on them, and the demons left as I prayed in tongues and cast them out of the men, and they were delivered for their demonic prisons from their demonic prisons and were set free. Oh, praise the Lord. Great and wondrous things are coming, saints. As a result of this storm, many will come to join us in repentance, and we will help to free them through the good news of the gospel, right? Isaiah 60, 14 and 15. And the sons of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee. Yes, they will. And all they that despised thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. That's a thus saith the Lord. They will become the head. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Now, who is he talking to here? He's talking to the bride. Remember what John said? He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. That was those first disciples, those who followed Jesus whithersoever he went, right? Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, talking to the bride again, so that no man pass through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. And then Eve said, I woke up. I asked Father for a word by faith at random concerning the destruction of the highway dividers. And my finger was on Ezekiel 11, 16, 15 through 21 in context. Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel, all of them, are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, get you far from the Lord. Unto us is this land given for a possession. Yes, the Israel warred against Judah and Jerusalem. They factioned against them. They factioned away from the house of David. But the inhabitants of Jerusalem say, no, you don't have any part in this. The apostates who followed the golden calf no longer had any portion in the Lord or his house. They had chosen another god. And now comes the good news for those who repent. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord, whereas I have removed them far off among the nations, they've been taken captive to the nations, that is Israel. The bride isn't captive to the nations. Remember in the book of Joel, when the Assyrian army came up to Jerusalem, the northern army, they had already conquered northern Israel. It was easy. They had no problem. They took them down. But now they come to the bride, and a different thing happened. They were conquered instead. So he says, whereas I removed them far off, that was faction Israel, among the nations, and whereas I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them a sanctuary for a little while in the countries where they are come. So they were not dwelling in their land, they're not dwelling on the promises, but he's keeping them for something, even in bondage to the nations. So, and he's going to tell you. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord, I will gather you from the peoples, when the time comes right, you know, assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And some people, I'm going to stop just a second because I feel like the Lord wants me to share this. The Lord Jehovah, which is in the ASV, for instance, Jehovah is a created name. It's created by man. He tells us not to pollute his name. I don't think he's offended with people using the word Jehovah, but we need to know that we're not to pollute his name. They had to add the vowels in so you could say the name because you couldn't pronounce YHWH. You couldn't pronounce it until you put the vowels in. Men did that. Okay. So, I mean, it's not a big thing. I'm not trying to worry anybody about saying that, but sometimes I just use the word Lord. And so that's the way I do it. That's the reason I do it. Some people have asked me that later, you know. So let's go on. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. So these people who are out there in captivity to the nations, pledging allegiance to their nation, you know, which is a bunch of pagans, he's going to bring them out of that, out of their apostasy, out of their faction, and he's going to bring them back to their land. This is the great promise. Many people in total corruption. Let me say something about coming out of corruption. Paul came out of corruption. He was very thankful. He wanted to make up for all of his foolishness that he did when he was following the Pharisees, right? He worked extra hard, more than all the rest of them, to bring about the kingdom, you know. When a person comes out of corruption and apostasy, they appreciate God. They appreciate him. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep mine ordinances, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will bring their way upon their own heads, says the Lord. All right. That is awesome. So he's going to bring back a people that will be permitted to repent. What I say by that is God grants repentance. Everybody doesn't get repentance. But God does grant repentance. If he doesn't grant repentance, you don't get it. Some people he will not grant repentance. He wouldn't do it for those Pharisees and Sadducees that couldn't understand the word of Jesus' parables. He didn't give them eyes to see. He didn't give them ears to hear. He didn't grant them repentance. And the same is now true of New Testament spiritual Israel. Some of them will not be granted repentance. I would say, repent now so you can prove that you're one of the righteous. Don't wait, right? But he will not grant repentance to many people. As you know, Israel fell away, exactly as the church has fallen away. And if you don't believe the church has fallen away, you haven't read the Bible. So, Eve asked, Father, for a word by faith at random concerning the storm in this dream. And she said, my finger was on, for Jerusalem is ruined. That's talking about apostate Jerusalem, not righteous Jerusalem. Righteous Jerusalem was the bride, which was the head of the people of God. Apostate Jerusalem was the head of the apostate people of God. Both of those parables are in the scripture side by side. You know, it's interesting. For Jerusalem is ruined. And that's in Isaiah 3 and 8. We're going to read 8 through 15 for context. For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. Okay, you know, that gets people, well, as my old daddy used to say, there's nothing that gets a duck in trouble more than his beak. It's true. You know where he's coming from, and you can hear him coming, you know. The apostate, factious Zedekiah-type leadership who led God's people astray, their tongue is against the Lord, as was his, and it was against his holy people. Babylon deep state will bring their destruction. God is ordained that Babylon is taking them down. They are the harlot of Babylon. They are being taken down. Verse 9. The show of their countenance doth witness against them. They declare their sin as Sodom. Yep, this is true of them. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have done evil unto themselves. Say ye of the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for what his hands have done shall be done unto him. As for my people, in other words, they're going to reap what they sow. They are storing up, treasuring up judgment in the day of wrath, the Bible says. When God doesn't quickly execute judgment, people get worse and worse. You know that? When sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. You know what they say? God doesn't see us. God's not going to do anything about this. No, they're doing what the Bible says they'll do. Treasuring up wrath for the day of wrath. Verse 12, as for my people, children are their oppressors. It's true. These people have never been elders that went out there to take an eldership in the faction church. They've never been elders. They're children in the ways of the Lord. And women rule over them. True. Those that are supposed to be receiving seed are giving it out. That is perversion. And I say that about the men, too. They're like women because they should be receiving seed, but they're handing it out. That's perversion. It's not permitted among the people of God. O my people, they that lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to contend, and standeth to judge the peoples. He's going to do it. He is doing it. Can you see what's going on in the natural realm out there? The parallel with us that's going on out there? It's already started. The Lord standeth up to contend and to stand to judge the peoples. The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of his people and the princes thereof, just like he did with the Zedekiah leadership in Jerusalem, apostate Jerusalem. It is ye that have eaten up the vineyard. Yes, they have. They are the mouth of the dragon. They speak for the dragon and they devour the people. And these wicked deep state people out there who have, you know, taken the children captive, just like the faction in the church, taken the children captive, sacrificed their lives, which the faction has done too, dismembered them, which the faction has done too. The Muslims love to do that too. It's a sign. It's a sign. Dismembered them, sacrificed them, mangled them, perverted and killed them. Yeah. For it is ye that have eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. Yes, they have stolen from the poor. They have done that. They've stolen food out of the babies' mouths. What mean ye that ye crush my people and grind the face of the poor, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, my goodness. God is mad. He's going to do something about it. Okay. Another revelation here. We called it witchcraft victims descend to death. It was given to Sandy Shaw. 9:29:20. Don and Merlene transcribed it for her. Amen. In a dream, I got a phone call from an acquaintance from around town. She said, could you come to me and pray for me and my house? It was a trick. Oh, wow, I said, this is your house? When I drive by this house, I always pray for it. Which means it was in need of prayer, obviously, you know. I said, oh, wow. So they do. They desperately need our prayers. There is a people among them who are just deceived. The deceivers are in far worse shape. Many more of them will be taken down forever. But they need our prayers. Even among the leaders, there could be some that survive and that tell the story. The Lord tells us, though, that when they do get delivered, they're going to tell the whole story. They're not going to hide their sins. They're going to tell their story to people. I mean, in the nations. She said, this is an old two-story white house with black trim and black shutters. The front porch was made of cement and painted black. Well, notice no matter how you enter this house, you have to go through darkness to get there. You see that? The witchcraft faction lures people to their house of death. You've heard of the House of Horrors? Where witches are and so on and so forth. Well, this is a good parallel. All of a sudden, as I was looking at it, the house was changing. Uh-oh. I saw the window frames changing into black snakes. So their house is not the sweet place that they would have you to believe. They're very smooth with their words, but they will lead you into slander. And when they do, you sit and listen to it, you're gone. That's what happens. It is full of demons and dead people. You've heard dead men's bones, right? On the top two windows, I saw demons staring out at me, and two gargoyles that were moving and alive under the top two windows. The woman was trying to open the gate so that I could come in. Well, keep the gate of your mind closed. Don't have the open mind that the faction wants. The woman was trying to open the gate so I could come in, but I quickly pulled it back shut. And she said, I cannot go into this house. It's clearly full of witchcraft and Satanism. And it is. That's exactly what it is. And this woman that was normal looking before now changed. Yes, if you don't give in to their smooth tongue, then the claws come out. She then had a very wrinkled face, which was brown, like it hadn't been washed for a long time. And her hair was matted. And then I woke up. So this is just a symbolism of unclean spirits and lusts. You know, they are full of unclean spirits and lusts. And they're not in any position to be judging anybody. And when they do judge, they lie. But they will not judge themselves so that they will not be judged. They will not do it. And that demon does not let them do it. The demons, I should say, will not let them do it. They're very prideful. They will not confess sins. And so the devil knows that in 1 John chapter 1, 7 through 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Any of you out there who are among the factious, if by the grace of God your conscience returns for even a moment, you need to confess your sins quickly to God. And you have to recognize them as sins, that they are sins. According to the Bible, it's not according to the faction. Sin is not according to the faction. Sin is according to the Bible. According to the Bible, what you have done is sin. Confess it to the Lord. He will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's what he says. If you're doing it honestly, if you're not doing it to put on a show, so someone will accept you in their house so you can poison them, you know, if you're doing it honestly, then God will hear you. I've got a theory that when this judgment comes that we've talked about here, it's going to put the fear of God back in some people who had zero fear of God. Now, that's, of course, the faction and a lot of other people, too. And that's when a lot of people decide to repent. They need to get back to God. Judgment has a way of doing that, bringing people to repentance, fear of the Lord, etc. Oh, it's needed so badly. It's needed so badly. You know, we pray. We're not afraid of our position in the Lord. But when we pray for the faction, we do fear for them. We pray that all of our brethren, the real people of God that are there, those that were chosen from the foundation of the world, and the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world covers their sins. Those people, we ask the Lord constantly, Lord, to set them free, to deliver them, to bring back their conscience. The first thing that happens to these people is they've got zero conscience. You can't convict them of anything. There is no scripture that can do it. No matter how fearful the scripture would be to you and to me who have a conscience, they don't have one. It's gone. Those demons cover it up or remove it, you know. So, when you see people that don't have a conscience against sin, you know that they've got a problem. There's no fear of God there. In the church in general, there's no fear of God. The doctrines have caused God's people to not have any fear of God. Once saved, always saved is one of the worst I know, and there are many forms of that out there. They don't have any fear of God. All they got to do is accept Jesus, and they got fire insurance. But they don't know God. And we know that there's nothing in the Bible about accepting Jesus. There's what the Bible preaches is repent and believe. Repent means change your mind. Turn against your sin. Believe what the book says. It doesn't say accept. And as I've always said, Jesus does not accept you. I don't care if you accept him. He does not accept you if you don't repent and believe. It's not going to happen. Okay, continuing on, she said, I received this verse by faith at random. Proverbs 7, 24 through 27. Now, therefore, my sons, listen to me and pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. That's this wicked witch in this dream. It's called witchcraft. The wicked witch in the dream. Do not stray into her paths. Oh yes, they can be very religious. The Pharisees were very religious. Does not mean that they're Christians. And Christians is not the terminology the Lord used anyway. Disciple is the term that he uses. And he's only talking to disciples. He's not talking to all Christians. Only to the disciples, which means a learner and a follower. So you see, when Jesus speaks to the righteous, he's only speaking to the disciples, not the Christians. When they were first called Christians, of course, we know that they called them that because they walked and talked like Christ. It kind of fit good in those days. It doesn't today, because so many false Christian leaders have taken away any fear of God, and so there's been nothing but apostasy, a falling away. Verse 26, for many are the victims she has cast down. Yes, this witchcraft, which is rebellion, according to the scriptures, they rebelled against God. She has cast down many victims. Numerous are all of her slain. She has killed many people. Anytime you see God raising up a beast army to come against his people, it's because of rebellion, which is witchcraft. Her house is the way to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. It is so true. That's why all the gray involved in the places in these revelations that we've given, that gray represents death. And God's judgment coming on them, the gray clouds, represents death too. They're going to reap what they sow. Come out from among them and be separate and do it quickly. Do not listen to slander, or you will die. If you don't have two or three witnesses, it's slander. Psalm 101 and 5. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I destroy. Now you see, you can say that to a factious person. They'll look right over you and they'll ignore that completely. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I destroy. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart, as they do, will I not suffer. Proverbs 10 and 18. He that hideth hatred is of lying lips. and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Now, God can call people fools, and he does. The people who slander are fools. Why? How do you think they got to be a fool? That's right. If you slander, you're a fool. It's the judgment upon slander. Make sure you've got two or three witnesses, and make sure it's a sin. That's the first two things you have to do. Then you go to your brother first to make sure everything that you heard was the truth, because he can tell you things that you don't know. Nobody can be, does our law condemn any man except it first hears from him? That's what the Bible says. First hears from him. You know what? When people get taken out by slander, they never go to the person that's being slandered. That's why they were taken out. They never go to the person who was slandered to find out if what was said was the truth. And when the demons enter in, even if you tell them the truth, they won't hear it. That's just the facts. And they do hide hatred. And they can tell you they love you. And they're full of hatred. Matthew 12 and 36. And I say unto you that every idle word, that word idle there, it also means unfruitful. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And let me say again, the day of judgment is not necessarily the very end time judgment. It's any day that judgment comes upon you. You're going to give account. How do you get out from under the judgment in that case? Don't have idle words. Repent of idle words. Repent of words that are against the scripture. Repent of words that are illegal in the scriptures. We have an article on our site, an audio on our site, policing our thoughts. Or is it policing the mind? I don't know. Might be both. I don't know. But it's something like that. We do. We have to police our thoughts. We have to say, no, that's not according to the word. I'm not going to say it. Or no, that's not according to the word. We have to use the word to judge our thoughts. Right? And 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days, are we in the last days? Certainly. In the last days, grievous times shall come. It is true. Look out there. And what you see in the world is going on in the church. Look out there. People turning against one another. The most corrupt people on the face of the earth are coming against the rest of the people. The most evil people on the face of the earth. They have nothing to do but to protest, to burn cities, to shoot people, to kill people, to slander people, they have nothing else to do. It's their hobby. The grievous times have come. For men shall be lovers of self. That which means, of course, it's just me and no more, right? It's not you. We don't love you. But if a person doesn't love his brother, he's cursed. Men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, exactly what they are. They'll do anything to be able to steal from you. One brother that God had turned over to faction, and he was headed more and more in that direction for even years, was very, very critical, angry, railing at his own family, on and on and on. And We gave him a gift ever so often to work on our teaching revelations, you know. And he would always come to me and say it wasn't enough. He'd come in the middle of the time when I normally gave him a gift. It wasn't enough. We've run out, so on and so forth. I knew he was lying the whole time. I never did accuse him to his face, but I knew he was lying. And over a period of years, and the Lord just, you know, said, do what you're told to do. Turn the other cheek. Do good to those that spitefully use you, so on and so forth. Over a period of years, the Lord showed us, and he proved it, that this brother had saved up $30,000+ while he was saying he was broke the whole time. And the Lord wanted this judgment to come against him because of the way he was treating his family, because of his many lusts, etc., etc. He wanted it against him. We did not get in the Lord's way. We let it go until he totally factioned out. So, and we're glad, of course, we would have loved greatly for him and his family to be saved. And we prayed for it, and we prayed for it, but the Lord said, not for now. It's not going to happen. So men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers. The revilers is sometimes used in the place of railers. It's people that speak against others. That's all they do, speak against others. Boastful, haughty, yeah, very prideful. There's nothing wrong with them, zero. They've been good people. Disobedient to parents, both physical parents and spiritual parents, they've been disobedient to. Unthankful. Unholy. Yeah. Not thankful because we have been a blessing to everybody who has come to us, who has worked in the ministry in various portions of the ministry. We have been very good. We meet their needs. We take care of them. We watch after them and give them vehicles if they need vehicles at times and whatever else, you know, we do it. We're very good to them. And the Bible says, he that returneth evil for good, evil will not depart from their house. And it doesn't. It does not depart from their house. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. We took one man into our house who had been into faction three times. We took him into our house because his mind was gone. It was gone. He couldn't do his job. We took him under our wing. We prayed for him. We nursed him back to spiritual health. And as soon as he got there, he turned on us like a mad dog. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. That's true. In families where there is love between the husband and wife, that kind of love is not there. It's just using one another. Without natural affection, implacable. You know, they can't be placated. They can't be. They're so high and haughty. Slanderers, there it is. God, a slanderer will I destroy, the Lord says. Without self-control, they have no self-control. They don't, in fact, there's no interest in controlling self. Self rules. Self is on the throne. Fierce, no lovers of good. Traitors, headstrong. Traitors. They're Judases. They turn up against the people who were good to them for years and years, who loved them and took care of them. They're traitors, just like Judas. They're headstrong. Stubborn self-will is what it means there. Puffed up, yes. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. holding a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof. They don't have any power. Oh, yes, they proclaim to be Christians, and they even try to get around Christians, but their purpose is destruction. Their purpose is not to edify people or to build people up. It's to destroy people. From these, turn away. Be not deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. We are warned by the Lord over and over. Well, Father, we thank you for this lesson. We know you want to warn your children away from this wickedness. We know you want to send this warning to the faction too, to those who have any ability whatsoever to repent, to have a conscience, to fear you, and so on. And Lord, we haven't seen that there, but it's something that you have to grant. You have to give them their conscience. Father, we ask, Lord, that those who are yours, that you do just that. You give them a conscience, that the scriptures come back to their minds, and that their way of the Christian life and the walk of the Christian life of holiness towards Zion would return to their minds, that you would grant them repentance. Now, Lord, you've shown us that this, in most cases, is not going to happen until the judgment falls. And then the fear of the Lord returns, and so on. Let favor be shown the wicked. They will not learn righteousness. That's what you say in your word. So thank you, Father, for your kindness, your goodness in opening our eyes and helping us to understand what to avoid these traps that destroy whole families and churches, and so on. Thank you, God, for what you're doing for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you, saints. We'll do this again sometime. Good night.